All right, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, are you there? Are you awake? Are you with us?
I'm alive and well, Richard, and I see my son has put a tweet on here on my website, Douglas James Cottrell. We have a tweet feed right on the front page, and I'm looking at it, and it's not very flattering, but that's exactly what happened when we did the reading. And as I tick down on the tweets, a couple of tweets down there, you and I are on the tweet too, so that people can get to see what we really look like. But that's
This is what you
interesting.
look like when you're in your deep meditative trance.
Yeah, I look like well, yeah, I look like I'm asleep. So.
All right, but I'm gathering though after that nearly an hour of being in a DMT, you're not necessarily feeling well rested. I mean, how do you feel physically after all of that?
I was curious because this is the first time we've been exposed to such a large number of people doing a deep trance meditation, which my mind seems to envelop or embrace. I've done readings for 1,000 people at a time where I've been on stage, but this was the first time with such an enormous audience, and I'm feeling quite buoyant right now. I'm feeling very good, actually.
Now, when you open yourself up that way, your soul mind, and as you say, you are literally being heard by millions of people across North America. Does that present any danger? Let's say, for example, God forfend, there may be individuals out there that are wishing you ill. Are you open to their negative energy or some sort of a spiritual attack?
The answer is yes. However, it's qualified by saying that, 40 years have gone by. I've paid my dues, as they say. I'm at the top of my field. I've done a lot of spiritual work on myself, and I teach people how to do this, how to protect themselves against the mischievous minds and those who are less than favorably impressed by me or care about me. But the idea is that we're tapping into the majority of people, which, first of all, locating yourself, our soul minds were connected. The soul mind of my son was also involved. And we have our good friend Kelly Fletcher tonight, who's been a long-time listener to the show. And he's here sort of as a guardian kind of thing. And so the intention is that more good people are out there who are I guess appreciating what was done than the detractors. And so on balance, I'm feeling quite good. I'm feeling that this is a wonderful audience. I think we're talking to people who are in accord with us, who understand what the process is. And so the danger might be minimal, but it does exist. And so we say the prayers of protection. And again, the experience of being able to do this. I once had an experience that was very shocking to me, and I had the privilege of calling up my mentor Ross Peterson. And I said, I had something happen to me. He explained it, and I settled down. And so, having that understanding that there are mischievous minds out there, and that there are forces that are not complementary, it to overcome them is part of the spiritual journey.
Spiritual martial arts, I guess. And it goes without saying that you would get nothing but positive energy from regular Coast listeners. I'm only suggesting there may be a few interlopers out there, not Coast listeners, who may be listening in tonight for the express purpose of doing mischief. Not regular Coast listeners, of course.
That's true. That's true. I'm feeling really good. I mean, I'm as I said, through my own, always constantly researching what's going on. I'm feeling very loving and kind and happy inside, and I think this
As
is due to
I
the audience.
anticipated as much. I anticipated as much. Now, you have no recollection of what happened. None of the questions that were asked, none of the responses that your soul mind delivered. You have no recollection of that previous last hour.
And this is true. My mind is right where we stopped talking about you saying we're going to go to break and then we're going to do the reading. So this is where my conscious mind is, but the feeling inside of me is kind of electric. I'm feeling really good, but I don't remember what I just said. It's like a dream. I've had the dream and now it's over, but the benefit of of this. You know, we've done experiments on your other show where we've sent healing energy to your colleague, and the number of people out there helped him have a wonderful miracle experience. And that's sort of what I'm picking up, the same energy right now.
What does the Akashic record look like? I mean, it exists perhaps in this astral plane, but when your astral body or when your soul mind travels to the Akashic record, does it take on a physical appearance?
Okay, good question. I know we were talking about this at the first of the show, and I was about to say the Akashic records is where all our minds are connected. Our physical life is a temporary sort of classroom experiment where we come down to the world and we go through a physical life for whatever the soul's purpose is, to learn something, to advance ourselves spiritually. But the consciousness exists in the pre-existence, and it exists in the post-existence, and it exists while we're here in this little vehicle, their physical body. And my experiments and my belief is that this consciousness, since we're all one and we're connected, is that where all the minds are connected at that point in the universe is where the Akashic records are. It's like a little piece of us. We've reached out and we have a little tether where we're connected to a central point. And at that point is where the Akashic records exist. It's a consciousness. It's an awareness. I don't think it's a place.
All right. Now, I asked you a number of questions relating to Earth changes, and we talked about the probability of a major EMP event, an electromagnetic pulse event emanating from a solar storm or a coronal mass ejection, knocking out power grids across the United States. And you indicated that that was highly probable within the next 2 to 3 years. I asked you about the Yellowstone caldera and the likelihood that that might erupt, the supervolcano beneath Yellowstone. You said that was highly probable.
That's for sure.
Here's my question to you. What if these things don't happen? What if you, or I should say the Akashic record, on these two events is wrong? What is the takeaway from that? Are these things, in other words, are they carved in stone, or what happens if you're wrong?
Well, it's a matter that when you tell people things as a prophet, and I guess I am, I do spiritual healing, I'm aware of the spiritual world, and I have the ability to see the future, and that's for sure. I mean, this is proven. When things don't happen, there's two things. One, they don't happen in time. On your show, we've predicted many things that have come true. The Earth heating up because the inside of the Earth spinning at a different speed than the crust. And then later on, scientists came to prove that. Talking about Hillary Clinton being in the White House while she ended up being Secretary of State. I was making that prediction before she was even a senator. So sometimes there's a fudge factor where things aren't exactly clear, the event is not quite clear, but the timing's correct, or the timing is not clear and the event is correct. So telling things, prophesizing things, sometimes can change the future by people changing what their activities or actions are. But on a scale, on a world scale, when the probability is given or the possibility is given, the timing in my 40 years, it's been the timing has been out, but the event always comes true. And I qualify that by saying a couple of years ago, I made predictions in Norway when I was there. I traveled the world. Many people want me to come and teach them or to be to see what I can do as far as this energy healing or my ability for this quantum meditation, deep trance meditation method. To teach them or to show them. But in Norway, I predicted that there would be a long period of warm weather in August. It didn't happen the next year, which was the question. It happened the following year. And there was a long period of heat from August all the way through to October, which was never happened before in Norway. So the reading was talking as if it was going to happen the next year, but it happened 2 years later. And this has come up several times. On other occasions, in talking about markets and the prices of commodities, it's been exact. So this is one of the things that I don't quite understand why there's this time problem, but I can only say that my research is that there's no time on the other side. So this is why timing events are given as opposed to dates. That's why things can happen 2 years later or 5 years later. And that's why when you're telling me about the probability of this electromedical forces or waves coming, and it says probable, it might be the time might take a little longer, a little less, because people will interfere in that timeline, which is a good thing, because we don't want disaster to happen.
But absolutely. All right. Let me jump in here and dip into some calls here, Dr. Cottrell. And Fred in Atlanta has been holding a while. Fred, good morning and welcome to Coast.
Yes, Richard. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope the good doctor is feeling well. My question would relate to, as a working-class individual, how does he see the future of the United States financial and the U.S. dollar?
Well, I've seen the U.S. dollar. I had a vision dream of that, where it looked like the dollar was had gone through the washing machine. You know, when you leave a dollar in your pants pocket and it gets washed? So the U.S. dollar is going to be washed out. Oil prices are plummeting, which is something we predicted, I think, a couple of years ago. That was going to happen either last Christmas or now, and it seems to be happening now. So the future of America, the economy is not good. And I, to qualify that is to say there is going to be a survival. The people are going to get along a little more, but the chaos that's happening in the U.S. with the U.S. dollar is that it is going to lose its power. The petrodollar is now a thing of the past. The gold dollar and the gold standard is now coming forward.
All right, Fred, thank you for that. Vanessa is in New York. Good morning, Vanessa. Welcome aboard.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have an Akashic sort of question, and then if I could ask the gentleman a quick question about him personally as well. My Akashic question has to do with... it's said that in the center of our galaxy, there is a concentration of a sort of energy. Some people call it God. Could you tell me a bit, what is your idea about this energy? Does it exist? And how would you describe it? What is God? Would this energy be in the center of all other galaxies? And, how can you suggest that we could use it to help humanity? And then about, if you can answer a personal question,
let me deal with that one first, because that's
okay,
a very
sure.
good question.
Yeah,
God is like electricity. God is like lightning. Electricity exists everywhere, and God exists everywhere. If we look at creation, the stories that in the beginning there was the word, that was a vibration or a frequency, and that God made the heavens and the earth first and then created everything else. So whether you're an environmentalist kind of looking at the world in a practical, let's say a biological way, or if you're a spiritualist and you're looking at the world and seeing that these Genesis is a step-by-step over thousands of years process, doesn't matter. God is everywhere. The idea that God is in the center of the universe is the notion that God is separate. And my teachings is that we are not separate. Anything that separates one from another, any religion that attempts to separate us from each other, or anyone who stands between us and tries to separate us from God, is committing a huge, we use the word biblically, a sin. It's an error. It's a misnomer. The point being is that God is everywhere. And how I describe God is like electricity. It's everywhere. It's powerful. It's unseen. But it does many things all on its own. Without electricity, our human body doesn't work. As electricity and magnetism and gravity are the same force, we start to understand the force of God. But God is real. I've proven that to myself. I have no fear of death. I have seen miracles. I have witnessed the ability to see the future. I have found that the closer and closer we come to understanding God is to develop ourselves intuitively and to learn spiritual gifts, which are written in Scripture and the book of Corinthians, for instance, if you're a Christian. But the whole idea is that this unseen force is what God is. But the effects of God is what give evidence to our spiritual beliefs and our faith. So God is everywhere.
Vanessa, you had a question of a personal nature for Douglas.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I was wondering if he had any sort of military-type training. A lot of remote viewers go through that. And if he has any, you know, Freemason or Rosicrucian type, you know, learning of that nature. And
well,
then
Vanessa, let's say that, I'm a curious man. I'm a newspaper man working from the Toronto Daily Star. I have invented things. I have patents. I played commodities and been successful, retired when I was 28. I've jumped into this world of this unconventional world of, you know, try to get a loan from a bank and saying you're a psychic guy is the kind of world I'm in. And all these other trainings that, yes, I've investigated all those things, and some of those organizations I've been a member of. But the point being is that I constantly look for truth. And my truth has always come from my dreams, my visions, and my communication and meditation with the divine above. And one of the amazing things is that whenever I need to know something, somebody shows up. Reverend Alec Holmes taught me to do spiritual healing. Another lady helped me understand past life experiences and karma. Another lady showed me the what auras were all about, and now I can read them, and I have my own interpretation of the colors, the shape of an aura, etc.
But no military background, is that right, Dr. Cottrell? No military training?
No military background. My daddy was in the Air Force at 34, 38 years of age during the Second World War. I have a stepbrother who was a paratrooper, and I'm a pilot, a recreational pilot, but thank God, because I'm a Capricorn and I hate authority, I never made it into the military.
Now, you know, have you ever been recruited by an intelligence agency because of your remote viewing abilities?
Could be.
All right. I think we can read between the lines.
I've seen all kinds of people from many agencies. Some of them are well known in the U.S., and I have participated at their request. I've done sessions for.
All right. He can either confirm or deny. We're reading you loud and clear. I've got to take a break here, Dr. Cottrell. We'll come back and continue our discussion with remote viewer, medical intuitive, Canada's Edgar Cayce. They also call him the man with X-ray eyes, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Back with more of Coast to Coast AM. My name is Richard Serrett. Thank you for inviting me into your home and that space between your ears. That's Mick Jagger. As a solo act, and an album that came out in 2001 called Goddess in the Doorway, and didn't receive sort of the commercial success I know he would have wanted, and I don't think it received much critical praise either, but I think it's an awfully good album, and that particular track is called Joy, and there he is paired with, of course, U2's Bono. That's Mick Jagger's 2001 release, Goddess in the Doorway. Just again, want to draw your attention to the coasttocoastam.com website, where our webmaster, Sean Latticeur, has posted some great stories, as always. And there's a wonderful YouTube video that's posted on the Daily Mail, and it captures an odd black sphere floating above the New York City landmark, the Statue of Liberty. Is it an alien UFO, or is it a big black balloon? Check out the video and you decide. And then there's recently released color photographs from the Rosetta mission, which show a remarkable detail of Comet 67P. But it's a colored photograph, but the comet is pretty dull. It's gray, actually. But this program is not gray. Nothing gray about Coast to Coast. We will continue with my conversation with Canada's Edgar Cayce, the man with X-ray eyes, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and your calls when Coast to Coast continues after this. Douglas, I have an interesting tweet here from someone who goes by the handle Captain. And he's asking whether the Akashic Record is sentient Or sapient, sentient meaning having, I guess, the ability to sense, versus sapient, which means, I gather, having intelligence. So is the Akashic record sentient or sapient?
I would say both.
All right.
The Akashic record is a real place, but it's no place. It's like, where do thoughts come from? That same place that originates thoughts. You know, when I teach people to look in their minds to see if they can develop themselves in clairvoyance or some sort of spirituality, I ask a simple question, and that is to say, in your mind's eye, can you see the Eiffel Tower? Most people can. There are a few people in society that can't. These are feelers and dowsers and people that feel the feeling senses, clairsentient ability. But most people can see that image in their mind. Right now, like most of the people I've just said that to in the audience, anyone who has been able to see that has the ability to see clairvoyantly. But here's the question. How is it you could see that in your mind when your eyes are open and you're listening to what I'm saying? Where did that come from? How did that image get into your mind? A simple little thing like that happens and occurs all the time. But when you point it out to people that, hey, there's another mind in there that just projected an image, now we have the door opening to clairvoyance and the ability to tap into that unseen. And this is in a similar question. The Akashic records are somewhere, just like that image of the Eiffel Tower was projected, but they're nowhere. I don't mean to talk in riddles, but that's the understanding.
All right, let's dip into the phone calls. We go to the wild card line and welcome Terry from Los Angeles. Terry, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, sir. Thank you.
That's good. I wanted to know, has there been any cloning done, or will they be? Will it be any cloning in the future?
You mean on humans?
Yeah, on humans. Uh-huh.
All right, because we've already had cloning, obviously, done on animals and so forth. So cloning on humans, has that already been achieved, Douglas, sort of surreptitiously under the radar?
I think so. The readings we've done before say that in the past, back in Atlantean times when that existed, that there was a common everyday occurrence of cloning. And it was cloned specifically for task. There were those beings that were called things, and they were required to do laborious things, and they were cloned one after the other. And I think this is it's already being done now. Will it be done openly in the future? I believe so. I can, in my mind now, I can see an operating theater. I can see two bodies, one beside the other. They're identical. So in the future, I think this will be a commonplace occurrence as well.
When you remote view, is there a point in time when you're not getting any information? In other words, 20 years out, 40 years out, 300 years out, and then everything just, it's like, you know, when the TV goes off the air and everything is just kind of snowy. Is there a point in human history projecting into the future where there's no more information coming?
Not that I've had that experience so far. I once had a vision dream where I was talking to Edgar Cayce 200 years in the future, and I said to him, as he looked at me, I said, "You can see us?" I was surprised that he could see us, meaning myself and a couple of other people that were there. So we were projecting ourselves into the future to meet up or catch up with Edgar Cayce at the time. But I have seen, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years in the future. And some of the things I would see back in the 70s and the 80s, many of the predictions I made or the images I had on another radio station that you were on have come true. And so looking forward, I think it's just, pardon me, the sky's the limit kind of thing, but I've never, ever run out of time.
What would you say to Christians who would suggest that, or would say to you, that you're being deceived, that the information you're getting is from Satan, and this is just a grand deception, and you are a tool of that deception?
Well, I would feel honored to start with. Jesus Christ was accused of the same thing. And I think his response was saying, how can bad come out of good? How can something different be disguised? And what when you're dealing with the spiritual world, the first thing to realize is that humans don't know God's mind. anybody that says they know what's in God's mind is being deceived, either through their propaganda or their training or their association with such groups of people that would say that. The point is that God is everywhere and God's available to each and every one of us, but only good can come out of good. People who are in pain give pain. People who are in love give love. And so that right from the lips of Jesus the Christ, anybody that says you're being deceived, the devil is doing all these good things, and it's from the devil's source. I would first of all say, well, you must know the devil personally to understand that. And second of all, how can that be? Doesn't the devil always do mischievous things? So when I'm doing good work, and I know Edgar Cayce was often criticized for this because he would deal with so-called entities, which are basically just spiritual beings. An interdimensional being can be an angel. I believe in angels. I have met them and spoken to them, and they've guided me. I believe that spiritual forces are around us all the time trying to help. But those people who are destructive or distract or attempt to criticize, they're getting away from the teachings, if they're Christians, of Jesus the Christ, who taught the opposite.
I'm curious, you've met and spoken with angels. Now, my limited knowledge of angels comes from the Old and New Testament. And when someone encountered an angel in biblical times, it was frightening. I mean, this was a very traumatic event to be in the presence of an angel. What was it like for you?
Well, angels usually appear at a time when you need them, and then they disappear. This is part of the criteria. I was in New York City late one night, in Spanish Harlem. My wife and I were sitting in our little Honda trying to get gas at a gas station, and it was pretty scary. An African American came over to our car and started singing and blessing and talking to the car as I got out of my car, and with some intrepidation went to the gas station and put the money in the big drawer that was armor plated and went back to fill my car up. The man was still there singing and chanting. And I got back in the car after filling the car up. I was a little nervous. It was dark. It was in Spanish Harlem, 116th Street and First Avenue. And as I got back in the car, after tapping on the window so that my wife would open up the locked doors, I said to her, "Did you see that man in front?" And she looked out the window and she said, "What man?" She never saw this man at all. And I walked by him twice. He wasn't there. He was an angel blessing the car. We never were bothered. When I was in India, we were looking for a place to go to the airport. Two Indian men walked up behind us out of nowhere. And one said, "You look like you're a Lhasa. We will take you." And I didn't tell him where we were going, but we walked up a long street for about at least 20 minutes. We got to almost the end of the street. He said, "There you go, Saab, taxi's over there." I thanked the man. My friend Ramesh and I continued walking up the street for a couple of minutes. And I said, "I wonder who those men were." You know, we looked over our shoulder, and on this long street where there were no houses anywhere near, it was an open space, they had vanished. There was no way in the world he could have walked away and got away that quickly. They vanished. So in those circumstances, it's not been a scary experience. I had one experience in which I saw the light and the flame behind me and a big being. And there is an experience on the website where I'm at a Christmas party, and there's this big white angel standing behind me. It's like the shape of an angel and wings and things like that. But I didn't even know it was there until we looked at the picture. So I've not had scary experiences. I've had very pleasant ones, although I've been in jeopardy, as I said, in New York City. Usually an angel shows up. They don't say too much. If they're in pairs, one will talk and the other won't, and they have the phenomena of appearing out of nowhere and disappearing. On the Twitter, on the tweet, you'll see a couple of pictures down where I'm sitting in a marble chair. It's the Pope's chair in Montreal, and I was taken there by a man who said he had to sit me in the chair. When we took the pictures and we were honored and thanked the man for doing this, we walked out, and as I looked over my shoulder, he vanished. He was gone. So this experience of having people appear, they look like humans, they talk like humans, they don't say too much, and then they disappear. This is a telltale sign that you're talking to an angel or that you've met one.
All right, let's go to the wild card line again. And Sean is in Las Vegas, Nevada. Good morning, Sean. Welcome to Coast.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Very well, sir.
After hearing you speak about angels and orbs and everything else like that, I kind of like to change my question. My original question was about government controlling citizens and so on and so forth. And I heard you talk about, you know, negative things, get negative answers, so on and so forth. And I'm not that type of person. It was just something that popped into my mind when you were in your sleep state. But I've had several experiences happen to me in the last couple of years that would lead to a single question where you spoke about the colors of orbs and angels. I had seen what I didn't know what it was when I was living in Northern California. Late one night, I went through a terrible breakup, and I was, I guess you could say, weeping over this breakup. And this had been going on for quite some time, and I finally fell asleep, and I woke up feeling almost kind of paralyzed, only able to move my neck and then to turn my neck. And there standing, I believe to be a woman, but stood from foot, from carpet to ceiling, was extremely tall and had white light on light is the best way I can explain it. And the only way I knew that it was a female was by the figure. And by the time I was able to look it up and down, not being able to see the face, hopping up out of bed, it was gone. And then a couple years later, I had felt a negative sensation behind me that felt, you know, that it towered over me. I'm not really a religious man, like of a certain faith or not, but I do believe in God. I do believe that there is a creator. I do believe there is a source. And earlier you were talking about like light, energy, vibration, so on and so forth of the beginning of creation. And I rose up, and I gave praise to God. It was no specific prayer or anything. I just gave praise. And while doing this and sitting up straight and having my hands together, out of this, I no longer was able to hear my voice speak. And it was like I got hit over the head with a tuning fork, and an energy just bursted from my body. As I was still in my body saying these words, I was no longer able to hear them, not knowing what I was saying, but was then overwhelmed by this energy.
That's a remarkable experience, Sean. Can I, because we're running out of time,
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, that's not at all. But is there a question specifically related to this amazing experience?
Yes. After this had happened and I came out of it, I went into the other room to tell my mother what had just happened. And right at this time, a orb of light came into the doorway. My mother was not able to see the orb directly, but she was able to see the reflection of the light in my eye. The best way to describe this light is to look at a symbol of an atom, where it is a ball with lines going over lines. And it was pure white. I mean, a pure white light. I mean, the purest, whitest light that you could ever think of.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Let me get Dr. Cottrell's comment here.
Orbs are showing up in photographs. They are geometrical shapes. You can see the lines in them. They look like a spider web, only different colors. This happens around me all the time. I think we have the technology now to see the unseen, to see the spiritual world. And what you're describing is that in a time of crisis, you had an angel appear. You're waking up, you're feeling the sensitivity of beings around you, and now you're being able to see these entities, these beings, these angels, and this is an everyday occurrence for somebody who's aware or awake. So I'm thinking, if your question is this true? Yes. Are you waking up and becoming more spiritual? Yes. Are you becoming more self-aware? Yes. And this is a graduation point. Those things have to happen for someone to appear to be, to grow in their spirituality. Okay? Thank you for your call. It's a really good story.
All right, Sean, thank you for sharing that. Let's try to squeeze Amber in from San Antonio on the wild card line. Amber, if we can keep it to 30 seconds, I apologize, but we are running out of time. Welcome to Coast.
Thank you, sir. I was wondering what kind of readings you've had about the Illuminati recently.
Great question.
Well, the world has always had Illuminati. This is not a recent occurrence. There are powers in the world that control the world. This is true. And if you'd like to know more about that, I have a new book or one of my books about the New Renaissance. This is 2012 and beyond, the prophecies of earth changes, and it talks about such things as that. You can go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com. I have iBooks, iTunes, and Kindle, and there's a lot of information about these phenomena, these conspiracies, and you can go to my website and go through that and probably find something free on the website that talks about the Illuminati. But the Illuminati are, it's natural. Every country has the top families in it, and they do business with one another. I don't think they're trying to take over the world. They already have the world in their hand.
All right, Amber, thank you for that. Very quickly, Douglas, leave us with a website where perhaps they can find out more about you and also your book, The Complete New Age Health Guide.
Okay, it's Douglas James Cottrell, and Cottrell is spelled Cottrell.com. And my HD web services have just put up a new website, so it's looking good, and it's simple to get around.
Excellent.
And so Douglas, people will find everything they need right there.
Thank you for spending 3 hours with us. Appreciate it.
It's fun. I appreciate having me on, Richard. Thank you very
Not
much.
Not at all.
This is the first time it's a historical show.
Thank you.
Bless, my friend. Okay.
Bye-bye. For George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyons, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Sean Laudasaur, Brian Opry, Tricia Pepe, and here in Toronto, Scott Guest, and Gord Harris, and Jackie Sakellaropoulos, I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your voices, your beautiful voices. So long for now.